Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Hey guys, before we even start this week's episode, we wanted to make a big announcement. Boston fans, we hope you don't have any other plans on Halloween night because Martinis and Murder is coming to the Wilbur on Thursday, October 31st for a very special live Halloween show. So you can come in costume, but no props like wands or swords. You will not be able to enter. But we are so excited to be coming to Boston for the first time. Tickets are standard $27, or if you want to meet us and take a photo with us, you can have the VIP meet and greet ticket, and that is $62. But you can buy tickets at bit.ly/mmboston, or you can just click in the link in our show notes or any of our social media accounts. By now, you should know where to find us. We hope to see you there. This is late breaking news, so no one else is on this part of the podcast, but we're going to get back into the regular show now. But please, if you're in the Boston area, come see us on Halloween night. It's going to be spooky and fun. Hi, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Martinis and Murder. And this week is a special episode because, first of all, Darren's not here. But filling in for Darren is the one and only Randy Havens, best known, what most well-known maybe, as Mr. Clark from Stranger Things. Welcome, Randy.
It's me.
Hey.
Hi, I'm here.
You have no idea. I'm actually like geeking out big time right now because I am such a huge fan of the show and of you, to be completely honest. Yes. Yeah, no, that's good to get that out there while we're chatting. But thank you so much for coming in and chatting with us about murder and Stranger Things and things of that nature.
Absolutely. My pleasure to be here.
You're not originally from New York, right? You're visiting.
I am visiting the big city.
The big city. How often are you up here?
A few times a year.
A few times a year? Nice. Yeah. I feel like I need to sort of explain how this came about a little bit.
Tell the epic tale of our friendship.
Of our internet friendship. I don't remember exactly how it all went down, but I think the Stranger Things 3, I think it was the black carpet, right, that you covered?
Yeah.
And for some reason, you were interviewing everyone else on the show,
right,
which I find to be slightly offensive because I feel like you should have been with them on the black carpet.
Yeah, I don't have a publicist.
Okay. Listen, so you do what you can,
right? I get in where I can.
Anyway, and I think I saw this video and I just became so obsessed with you. I thought you were the funniest guy I've ever seen. And Megan's probably, you've probably seen the video where he's like interviewing everybody and she's agreeing in the background. But and so I was like, this guy's obviously going to be like really funny on Twitter. And lo and behold, I find your Twitter account, which is, tell everybody how to follow you.
Mr. Randy Havens.
There you go. And you're just hilarious. And then we just kind of started DMing each other. And then you seemed very into murder.
Yeah, I love
it. Is that accurate?
Love murder. Love it.
Good to know. So yeah, that's kind of like the background. And so I was like so excited because I'm a huge fan of the show. And I've talked about the show so much on this podcast. And frankly, there's a lot of murder that kind of happens on Stranger Things, right? Don't you kind of think that that might in some ways be a similar genre in terms of audience interest?
Yeah. Well, there's no true crime.
Well, that's true.
Stranger Things.
At least not
unless
that we
you're
know
like
of.
A conspiracy theorist.
Right, right, right. We will get to Stranger Things talk in just a second, but I kind of wanted to talk to you and interview you a little bit. Oh, Gina's bringing our drinks.
Oh, hello.
Gina, you can hop on a mic if you want and just tell us what they are, because they're very pretty. Here, you can use mine.
Can you hear this clinking?
Yeah. Mm. They're pretty simple this week. You are drinking a rum and pineapple juice, and Randy is drinking just a Moscow Mule.
Thanks, Gina.
You made them strong, too.
Oh, look at that. Yes, we're going to be a little bit...
We going to get wasted.
And more ginger beer for you.
No, no, no.
Should you need it.
No, I like it strong.
Now, Darren typically loves a Moscow Mule, so you're kind of filling in for her that way, and it's perfect.
Great.
I'm going to take a little sip. Yeah, I just spilled it. It's really good. Thank you. Gina, before the show, was like, let me just make sure that the pineapple juice isn't spoiled. And I was like, great. Yeah, thanks for doing
that. It's always a good idea.
Yeah, always a good idea. But I did want to talk to you about just your background, because I feel like I know you were recently in the new Godzilla movie as well. So I guess, where do we begin exactly? But where are you from, and like, how did you first start getting into acting?
I'm from Atlanta.
Okay.
Georgia.
Right.
Atlanta, Georgia.
Right, right.
I think I've been acting my whole life. Like, when I was a little kid, I would like put on shows for my family.
Sure.
And like make them watch,
you.
And like dress up like Pee Wee Herman and and do my own version of Pee Wee's Playhouse.
Right.
So it's in my blood.
Yeah, yeah.
I need attention constantly.
Which is why you're also on the show.
Yeah, and the best way to get attention is either to do something bad, like a murder.
Well, that's true. Good point, actually.
Or to be an idiot.
If those two things are the same person? Then you've got a serial killer on your hands.
I think we've got here is the next big dark comedy.
Right. I think you're right, actually.
It's like Silence of the Lambs meets Steve Martin's The Jerk. And
that's good. So you are from Atlanta. You still live in Atlanta, though.
I do, yeah.
Yeah. So I'm just curious why, like most actors doing a lot of big, like Stranger Things and Godzilla are in LA. What made you kind of want to stick around Atlanta?
Because I kept getting parts.
Oh, in Atlanta.
They just keep giving them to me.
Well, so yeah.
What am I going to do?
Don't go to LA. Don't break it.
Don't look a gift horse in the mouth. And also don't leave the place where the gift horse is.
Well, that's
because
true. Right.
You're never going to be able to ride it.
There's a lot of filming in Atlanta. So a lot of people maybe listening don't realize that there's Atlanta sort of like after LA and maybe even New York, kind of where it's all happening, right?
Yeah, it's pretty big. And there's a lot of like tent poles that shoot there. So like any movies that are over 100 million. Now we're getting into some very boring territory.
No, that's interesting.
Going to talk about Georgia's tax incentives.
Right. No, that makes sense.
Listen to this.
Yeah. Yeah.
The way the incentives work is, you get basically a 30% break for shooting in Georgia and putting a big Georgia peach at the end of your movie.
Right. Yeah. Or TV show. We've seen some TV shows.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. The deal with tent poles is, so like in some place like LA, there's a ceiling.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So you get a tax break up to 100 million.
Got it.
In Georgia, there is no ceiling. So
got it.
If you were shooting, say, the Avengers movies, like the two Infinity Wars, like those movies cost, I think, $1 billion.
Like the most money ever made. Yeah.
And so it was like, okay, well, we could get a $200 million break in California, or we can get a $600 million break in Georgia.
Did Stranger Things film in Georgia?
It did, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Gotcha.
Nice. So when you're not acting and being a businessman in Georgia.
It's me. I'm a businessman.
What else do you get into? Because I do want to talk about your obsession with Taylor Swift. Mm-hmm. I think that's a very important thing we should nail down today.
We got to talk about Tay-Tay.
Because one of the things that I thought was really funny when I went to your Twitter account that first day was that you right off the bat tell everyone this is a Taylor Swift fan account.
Yeah.
I don't even know what the question is necessarily, but how would you describe your interest in Taylor Swift?
It's completely healthy.
Right.
Nothing wrong
Nothing wrong. No. Okay.
Can you be healthily obsessed?
I think you can, yeah.
But I really am kind of just obsessed with her music.
Yeah.
I I mean, I have no
choice.
Good
to say that now, right.
I have no choice but to, you know what's happening in her personal life because it just, it's always out there. But,
right, that's true. That's a good point, yeah.
But I'm glad she found love.
Yeah.
And I like that movie that her man did, The Favorite.
The Favorite, okay.
Which is a great film. Yeah, no,
You're a big fan.
I'm a huge fan.
Yeah.
When 1989 came out, I was just like, this is like legitimately like the best album of the last 10 years, like by anyone.
Yeah, yeah.
From that point, I had no choice but to stan.
Yeah, I was just going to say, your social media is very clearly stan-centric when it comes to Taylor Swift. So.
Yeah.
She has a new album out, right? How are you feeling about it?
Love it. Listening to it on the way to another place. Was listening to it on the plane. Listening to it on the train.
Right.
There's great. No place I don't listen to that album.
Amazing.
And there's not a skip in it.
No, that's
there's
right.
not a skip
not
in
a
it.
Skip in it. So I guess let's move into a little bit of your kind of interest in murder. Why do you love murder so much? you know, we've been internet friends for a while, but it's pretty clear you have an interest or maybe even a passion in murder. You were DMing me like, I have a great idea for another case.
Mm-hmm.
You know, why do you think, not just you, but maybe why do you think people are so interested in this genre, especially as an actor? Like, do you think people are interested in the storytelling parts of it, or what makes people so interested in this genre?
I think that, you know, we're so curious about what makes people tick.
Right.
Right. You know, more specifically, like, why would someone give up, like, take like the biggest risk of all risks, right?
It's right.
like, if you get caught, you're either going to go to prison for life
right.
or you're going to get the chair.
Right.
why would someone like take that risk to like,
yeah,
like to do anything?
Like what is their desperation?
Yeah. Like there's nothing to me that's worth, going to prison for the rest of my life.
Right. Well, we're also rational people. You know
yes.
what I mean? So most
yes.
murderers typically are not.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. But like, where does that happen?
Yeah. Yeah.
When
yeah.
does that happen? I think that's like my biggest thing always is, and there's never like one thing, obviously.
Right.
Like, I think like at least the serial murders, you have kind of the, I think it's the McDonald triad where it's like bedwetter, pyromaniac.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
And hurts animals.
Right. 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 Yeah, we've talked about that a lot on the show, too.
And then, like, head trauma is, like, in there, too, right? Like, mm-hmm. suffered head trauma as a child, which, obviously, that's probably the biggest one is, like, that head trauma is probably tied into abuse, and that abuse has probably triggered, like, feelings of, like, love mixed up with violence.
Yeah.
And then that becomes, like, you know, as you get into puberty or whatever, that becomes, like, sexuality.
Right.
And so all those things
Wow, you're explaining this really well, actually.
Start to entwine.
Yeah. And even, like, Aaron Hernandez, who was the football player who was convicted, you know, he had severe head trauma, physical head trauma.
Yeah, of course.
So it's like, yeah, you're right. Maybe it is kind of, like, emotional and physical kind of mental trauma early on that kind of develops into, like, associating what you're saying, kind of, like, love and murder in those extremes in a weird way. That's a great way to put it. Are there murders or even, like, murderers that have stood out to you that you kind of find yourself going back to or stopping on oxygen to watch whenever we have specials about it or anything like that? Anything that really kind of connected to you in some way?
The Gainesville Ripper.
Okay.
Even though that was almost just he was almost a spree killer
mm-hmm.
as opposed to like a serial killer.
Right. That's true.
Really just kind of ran in there and like,
right.
lived in the woods, but was like,
right.
you know, running in and murdering people. But
yeah, yeah.
Just the ones that like, where it's like, what happened to you?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, what so, did this? Cause like, it's like when you're like kink is killing someone and having sex with their head.
Right.
It's like, that's like,
that's an extreme.
Something bad happen to you. That's not normal.
Yeah, it's interesting because you seem to really be interested in the psychology about why people. Yeah, because sometimes, like, I feel with our show especially, there's a lot of young female listeners who listen to our show and watch Oxygen and are interested in this true crime stuff. And a lot of times they are more interested in the sort of maybe like the defense, like learning how to defend themselves or just feeling like they have some power by knowing these stories, you know, knowledge is power. So
never go to a second location.
Exactly. Those types of things. Absolutely. We had a thing on the show very early on where it seems like, Megan, wouldn't you think, like, every couple of episodes, it was like another house party somebody was dying in. And we were like, guys, stop going to house parties. This is not a place where you want to be. You have a higher risk of dying, according to this show, you know? So, yeah,
more house parties.
Yeah, there you go. Enough of that. If you could portray, like, one serial killer across history, because we saw Zac Efron do the Ted Bundy thing. Mm-hmm. You know, as an actor, is there somebody's story, maybe not even as a serial killer, but like a part of a story that you feel, I know I'm putting you on the spot a little bit with this one, but something that stood out to you that you could see yourself acting out one day?
I will say that one of the most fascinating ones to me, and it's not even the killer because I don't think we know who it is, or at least the person who did it is definitely never went to prison for it.
Yeah.
But the Boston Strangler.
Interesting.
Because that case is so all over the place.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember it. I don't know that I know a lot about it. I should look it up.
They hired psychics to come in. They gave one of the psychics, like, sodium pentothal because they were like, he must be the killer because he knows too much about this case.
Oh, my God.
So the Boston Strangler killings were probably three different people.
Interesting.
Because the victims, and this was in the 60s.
Yeah.
So the victims were like, there are like six victims that all kind of fit the same profile. And then there are like two that don't. And then there are like four that like have their own profile. And so they were all strangled. Maybe one of them was stabbed. Mm-hmm. But they were like, well, they all got strangled, so it must be the same guy.
Same guy, right.
And this was, you know, back before there was
DNA.
A DNA or even a behavioral sciences unit.
Right, right.
So you really didn't have anyone who knew how these people operated. This was just like they didn't know back then, of course, like, what kind of person this was.
Right.
You know, it was such an
profiling and all that wasn't even
such
a
an
thing.
Anomaly
right,
at
right.
that point. But there was one guy in particular that was probably the guy that we would think of as the who started it off, because he was in a mental institution that had like notoriously low walls around it,
as they do.
So he would just like dip out for a couple of days, and then he'd come back, and it just so happened like all the days he was missing coincided with like all
his
these
murders. Yeah.
And also he hated his mother, and all of these women were senior citizens.
Interesting.
And so they all looked like his mother. And then there were like younger girls that got murdered, and it was like, okay, well, clearly that was somebody else, and clearly that was somebody else. And the guy that they got for it, the guy that they arrested, I can't remember his name.
Albert DeSalvo?
DeSalvo, that's right. DeSalvo is clearly a rapist.
Okay.
And like a sociopath, but he's also like a habitual liar. Like, he craved attention. And like the cops just like got a confession out of him.
I was going to say, I'm reading a little bit here on the Wikipedia, so, you know, take that for what it is. But it says the crimes were attributed to Albert DeSalvo based on his confession, details revealed in court during a separate case, and DNA evidence eventually that linked him to the case. He's sometimes referred to as the Silk Stocking Murders.
Right.
Murderer. Yeah, so that's interesting.
That was, I think, the initial ones, like the women were strangled with their
stockings.
Own like pantyhose.
Oh my God, that's terrible. So that's who you would want to portray, potentially?
I don't know. Someone involved in the case.
Yeah.
Not DeSalvo. I don't think we look, we don't have a similar look at all. Okay. But I'm just fascinated by that case, and I would like
the story to be told.
The story, yeah. Fascinated more with the story than any particular character in there. Maybe one of the psychics, because they were like wackadoos.
You think you could do a good wackadoo psychic?
Yeah. There was one of them.
You practicing that at home right now?
Always. I'm always trying to channel the ghosts of the unjustly murdered.
right. Interesting.
So yeah, that's a crazy case. And I think the reason that DeSalvo confessed was that he wanted to sell a book. He actually cared about his family, and like I think they were in some financial difficulties. So
got it.
I think that he was like, if I do this, then like I'm going to prison anyway because of all these rapes.
Then I can sell the book and my family would be okay at least. Yeah. Interesting. Yeah. I had always heard of the Boston Strangler, but for some reason I just wasn't super familiar with the case. And by the way, if you're listening and you're in Boston on Halloween night, we're doing a live show. Get tickets in our show description. I'm glad you chose the Boston Strangler. Thank you, Randy.
What a segue.
That was not a setup. He really just chose the Boston Strangler, guys. All right. Well, let's get into some Stranger Things talk since, you know, I'm a huge fan, and it's completely coincidental that yesterday Stranger Things 4 started to get teased across social media. I mean, obviously, I want to know everything that you can tell me, but I guess I'll just start with, do you know, like, what's happening with
Nope.
Not at all.
No clue whatsoever. That's what they tell you. There are clearly like some clues in there.
Yeah, totally.
That clock looks like Big Ben.
It does in a way.
And they're like,
we're not in Hawkins anymore.
We're not in Hawkins anymore.
Right.
So I'm like,
we're going to London.
Is the Upside Down coming to London? London, England.
Let's only hope, right? My other question is, do you know who the American in Russia is? Do you actually know? You don't have to tell me. I'm just curious if you know.
I'm pretty sure it's Mr. Clark.
Yeah, it is you. That's right. Yeah.
Pretty sure the Russians were like, let's get this middle school science teacher and put him in the Russian prison.
By the way, if that happens, I am going to scream at the top of my lungs when that is revealed.
If that happens, I'm going to be fired
because you predicted it on the show.
I said it on the internet.
Yeah. I have a very serious question. When are we getting a full season of Mr. Clark? Because let's be honest, it's kind of why we're all watching. I proposed yesterday via Twitter that there's a Magic School Bus style spinoff with you.
Yeah.
And have you pitched this to Netflix? And if not, why haven't you?
Luckily, the Duffer Brothers just got a, like,
they did get a
hundreds of millions of dollars deal from Netflix.
Right.
They're going to be looking for content.
That's true. Yeah. Why not?
I'll just slide right in there and pitch them on the idea of following this mild-mannered school teacher around.
But listen, I mean, and not just because you're here with us in the studio, but like your character is, I don't know if you would describe it as like the comic relief. Obviously there's quite a lot more comedy throughout the show, but you know, your reveal, I think in season 3, like with the garage door opening, I mean, that may have been one of the most epic kind of like moments in the whole season, aside from of course the paranormal stuff.
Right.
But you know, are you aware of like that and like how you're perceived in, I guess you could say, the Stranger Things community? Or do you just like, you're like, oh yeah, that's a nice thing that happened.
I mean, definitely on that day I was like, wow, you guys are giving me this entrance. Yeah. They were like, yeah. I was like, sweet. This is great.
That's awesome.
Cause we shot, I think, all of that without Winona.
Oh really?
Yeah, I think we did all the stuff with like the painting of the miniatures and all that sort of like setup stuff, and even like the reveal.
Yeah.
Without like the day before.
Wow.
Because there was really like no reason for her to be there.
Well, right.
At that point. And then we did the reverse the next day. So.
Right. So are you aware though of like how you kind of fit into the Stranger Things community in a way?
Yeah. I think so. I mean, I think it's like, because I'm such a fan of the show as well.
I see that on your social media too. Like you love the stuff. Like even the tease yesterday, you were like really excited about that.
Yeah. I mean, like just watch, you know, the first time I watched it and like, you know, when you get towards the end of like the first, and I obviously binged it all in one day.
Of course.
When you get towards the end of the first season and like, you know, it's like some really emotional stuff happening and it, like tears are just streaming down my face and I'm like, okay,
is this show like the best show that I've ever seen or am I just crying because I'm on the show? I don't know. I gotta check Twitter.
Oh my God. And then everyone was like, this is the best show ever.
Yeah.
Like, oh, it is. Well, guess we nailed it.
Guess you got it right. Were you aware when you were filming season one, like what this was going to be in any way or?
No.
No. Nobody did probably, right? I'm assuming. The Duffer Brothers maybe were the only ones.
Not even. No. I thought like we have a producer on the show and he always just kind of had like a grin on his face.
Interesting.
And I was like, I think he knew the whole time. But then I saw an interview with him where he was like, nope, didn't.
Oh, okay.
like we all knew it was good.
Yeah. But even good stuff doesn't always take off.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. There's, you know, there's 400 shows out there at any given moment.
Right.
And, you know, it's with Netflix, like, it's like, well, sorry, wasn't a hit.
Yeah.
Moving on
to the next
thing. So I knew that it was really good, and I was like, oh, this is going to get, like, a cult following for sure. Just, like, when we were doing the first, like, table read for season one.
You knew then.
I was like, I knew that I loved it. I was like, oh, my God, this is, like, all the things that I, like, you know, like, this is, like, every book that I read as, an incredibly warped child.
we'll get into that eventually in another episode.
And, I told the Duffers, I was like, guys, this is like all like the coolest shit from the 80s.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Just like smushed together. Like I would describe it to my friends, like as we were making this show, like they're like, what's this show?
Yeah.
What's it about? And I'm like, well, it's like if Stephen King and Steven Spielberg got together in the 80s and made something together.
That's a great way to describe
this. This would be like what it was. Yeah. So I knew it was good. And I was like, well, I wonder how it's going to come across. And so I guess that was a question that kept coming up because the Duffers eventually, right before our winter break, were like, hey, we're going to do a screening of a rough cut of the first two episodes. And so, like, you know, sort of a cast and crew thing. So, so we went to the studio and, you know, we sat down and
not knowing what to expect,
Knowing what to expect at all. And they were like, and they were like full of warnings beforehand.
Of course.
Like, it's not done, guys. It's not done. There's no visual effects. The music is all wrong. This is not the music. That's
it's a mess, guys.
It's, you know, like there's so many things to clean up. Like obviously the sound is not where we want it to be either.
Right.
But we wanted you to see this before you went on break.
Nice.
And just the pre-title sequence with the kids playing D&D and then Will getting chased down by the Demogorgon and, you know, sort of ending there. And then the titles come up and you just felt in the room, like all the tension in the room left.
That's amazing.
And everyone was just like, oh my God,
it's really good.
It's a good show we're working on.
Well, I feel like that was sort of my reaction too, to be honest. And I'm not really a huge TV person. I'll just be honest. Like I frankly just don't have a lot of time for sit down and watch television when I'm working in television. And I remember like that first, like 5 minutes, that first sequence and just like, even just the titles alone are an artistic masterpiece. Yeah. You know what I mean? And I just remember being like, I am in. I don't care what even happens after this. If it's great, icing on the cake. And then it was great. So it was just so many kind of payoffs with every single episode. So I commend you for being a part of it. It's such an amazing collaboration, I'm sure.
Dumb luck. I like to call that.
What was your audition process like for this show?
I auditioned for like 5 or 6 different characters on the show.
Oh, did you? Any that are on there now?
Yeah.
Yeah? Can you tell us who they are?
I mean, I auditioned for Mr. Clark. I auditioned for Connie Fraser, who's the assassin in the first season.
Oh, okay, right.
And they were like, well, we don't know if we're, you know, like it's written for a woman, but, you know, we might have a man do it.
Yeah, yeah.
So his name's Connor Fraser. Catherine Dyer is the actor that they eventually used, and she's just so perfect.
Got it.
In this role, as just kind of like a chameleon, like you, like she's such a cipher. Like you never know, like what her
actual
deal is.
Yeah.
I auditioned for and this is the audition that got me a callback.
Okay.
I auditioned for the principal of the school.
Okay. I'm trying to remember the principal. Oh, right. Okay.
Like he just has a few scenes, mm-hmm. But he comes in to like get the kids when Hopper comes to like interview them about Will being missing. And he gives a speech when they think that Will has died. Spoiler alert. If you haven't seen,
if you haven't seen the first,
what are you doing?
So why are you listening to the show? So you got a call back from that.
So I got a call back from auditioning for that. And I actually was just like sort of going through my old auditions the other day and like deleting the things that I didn't get.
Right.
Just like, you're dead to me forever.
It's an interesting
I got to clean up my hard drive space. I was like, what is this? And I clicked on it. I was like, oh my God, this is like actually the audition that got me the callback. But I'd also auditioned for Mr. Clark, but I didn't get a callback for that one.
Got it. Were there other characters you were saying there?
Yeah, I think there was some like sort of like random side characters that like, agent, who's like with, the bad guys.
Sure.
And maybe has like three lines in the whole show.
Right.
So I go in to audition for the principal or vice principal role. I go in to read for that. As soon as I walk in the door, I see Carmen Cuba, who's the casting director. And the Duffers are like sitting at a table. And literally I have 1 foot inside the door and Carmen immediately turns to the Duffers and she's like, what do we think of him for this other character if we decide to go a different way with it?
Okay.
So I'm like not even in the room.
You
don't even want me for this part and you don't want me for this other part, but maybe.
Yeah, yeah.
You might later want me for this other
want
part
me for this
if
other
something
thing.
Else happens. So yeah, like, yeah. Okay, great. So I can just do whatever I want.
You have
no pressure.
Yeah.
You guys.
I was just going to say, how do you handle that? Like knowing like you're not even in through the door yet and that's how their sort of perspective is.
I was like, great.
Yeah, great. Cool. Okay. Good.
Okay. So, no pressure. You guys don't like me.
Right.
Already, so let's just, but it wasn't that obviously it was that like Carmen obviously like had like a light bulb moment when I walked in the door and went like, ooh, what if we did this for him? And she's like got such an eye for detail and she's just great about putting cast together
you're so perfect for that role. Are you then saying that Mr. Clark may have in an original script somewhere been a whole different type of character?
No Oh, well okay. That was actually a thing, but this was not Mr. Clark. This was a character that
I see
that was going to be Jonathan's boss
at
the movie theater where he worked.
Got it. I am like freaking out excited about this. Like this behind the scenes stuff, I live for it. Keep going.
So I read for the principal. They like laughed at the thing that I did. And then they I did a funny thing.
Yeah. What did you do? What was so funny?
It's just the way I said a line.
Okay. Do you remember what it was? Okay.
The line itself isn't funny. It's just like the way
you're delivering.
I think I tell Dustin that he's got some food on his face, but it's like such a throwaway thing.
I'm like, hey,
the cops are here. Don't worry. You're not in any trouble. Like, just be honest with them. Tell them everything that you know, Dustin. You got some little stuff on your face.
That's good. I like it.
So it's like very matter of fact.
Very
throwaway.
Right.
And they were like, okay, get out. But here, take this script with you when you go and read this and come back, in 15 minutes.
Oh, okay.
With this character.
Got it.
And so once again, I'm like, okay, obviously, also no pressure because giving me 15 minutes to learn 10 pages. So I'm like, I'm not going to learn these lines. I'm just going to read these scenes and I'm going to go like, what's this character's deal?
Sure.
What do I see here? Like what's
and it's up to you completely, right? Like how you interpret.
Right. Yeah. I think that's, that's what they're looking for.
Yeah.
Like you come in here with something.
Right.
Interesting. So I go, I read the scenes and I'm like, oh, this guy's just like a real sweetheart. Like, great. Yeah, I can do this.
Mm-hmm. You're like, I'm a sweetheart. I can do this.
I'm not a nice person.
You're terrible. I love murder.
I love murder. So I go, I you know, look through the scenes and I'm like, okay, yeah, I got this. Like, you know, is it like very, very much a mentor type character?
Right.
And so I come back in, I read for that.
Is this a scene from, did this scene make it into the show at all? I'm just curious if it's something we can visualize.
I will tell you.
Okay, sorry. Yes, I'm interrupting.
At the end of the story.
Oh, okay. Ooh, I like where this is
so,
going.
So I come back in and read the thing, and I go home, and I'm like, I feel pretty good about that. That seemed like a pretty successful thing. I don't even know what this show is. Like I had
you didn't even know the show at this point.
At that point, it was just called like Untitled Duffer Brothers Project. I don't know who the Duffer Brothers are.
Right, you have no idea like what this world is or anything like that.
And like I haven't read like the full scripts at all. So it seems like a little. So there's maybe some supernatural stuff going on because of the
right.
Like you know, there was a laboratory and like a thing that I had read for like one of the characters.
Got it.
So I get a call a couple days later and they're like, they want you for this character.
Not a callback. They want you to sign on.
Well, so that was the callback.
Oh, okay.
Cause I had already, I'd taped like 6 or 7 of those other characters beforehand.
Okay.
So they're like, yeah, we want you for that character. I'm like, great. Awesome. Cool.
Yeah, yeah.
and then about, it was maybe about a month before production was to begin. And then like 2 weeks after that, I get an email from my agent.
I was like, you get what? I was like really waiting.
Yeah. I got an email from my agent and they were like, hey, bad news. They cut that character completely out of the show.
Good luck.
Probably like budgetarily, you know, I'm sure it was a budget thing. And then I'm looking back on it, I'm like, well, he's pretty similar to Mr. Clark. So I bet they were like, can't have that many like nice grown-ups. One nice grown-up.
Right.
It's not a town full of nice grown-ups.
and monsters.
Yeah. And so I think they were like, well, you know, like, and like, as they're like trimming it down because like in season one and, you know, it's kind of hard to look back on this and remember, but like we didn't have a budget.
Right, right.
Like this was like
it wasn't a worldwide hit at this point. Yeah.
I mean Netflix has always been like very like generous about like okay, you guys need a little extra money. Okay, here's a little extra money. Like you need to do like a stunt again or whatever.
Right, right.
There was like one with where Eleven flips the van in season one.
Right.
Where the Duffers were like, oh, we kind of screwed that up. Hey, can we do that again? And Netflix is like, okay,
twist our arm.
You can flip a van a second time.
Meanwhile, probably the most iconic scene, right, from that season. So good thing that they got that right.
For sure. Between that and She's Our Friend and She's Crazy.
Right, right. There's that.
So I was heartbroken. I was like, oh, man, that sucks. Like, really wanted to, you know, have a job.
You caught me mid-sip, but yes, we all would love to have those.
Because it's, you know, it's nice to make money.
Right. Especially in Atlanta, right? You don't even have to really travel. And
Well, you get to eat food and, you know, have a roof over your head.
What a life, right?
So nice.
So you're bummed out.
So I'm bummed out.
Yeah.
And then they were like, hey, we still want you to come in and like read at our table read.
Interesting.
And I was like, okay, well, you know, here's my next callback for this.
I was just
going
to say, are you having anxiety about like, what are they exactly want from me? Cause like, I would just feel nervous and maybe even a little insecure myself.
No, at that point I was like, great. Okay. I can come back in and maybe like, obviously I'll get the scripts ahead of time so I can figure out like, okay, this character is like good for me. I'll like really like sell it on this character or whatever.
Right.
And then right before the table read, they were like, hey, take a really good look at this Mr. Clark character.
Mm-hmm.
And they were like, and also like send us in a, you know, like you doing some scenes with this character. Mm. And I was like, well, I actually have already done this.
Right.
So I'll just resend you the thing that I already did for this character.
Right. Right.
You guys seem to have forgotten. And when I went
did they literally forget?
I think it was just my agents were like,
oh, okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh,
deliberating, right. Negotiating.
Well,
whatever.
I think they were just like, yeah. Hey, they really want to look at you for this character. Mm-hmm. Like, do an audition. And I'm like, well, I did one already.
You already did
like,
that. Yeah.
They're like, well, Randy, you did 10. You can't expect us to keep track of all of them.
good to know. Yeah.
So I was like, so I just resent that to my agents. Yeah. Got this it. Wasn't like the Duffers and casting being like, we'd like to see this.
Gosh, it was
them going like, you know, my own agents going like, just send it to us again.
I gotcha. So you go to the table read then?
So I go to the table read. I show up. It's day one.
Of filming?
No. Oh. Just of like.
Rehearsals or something.
Yeah. It's like everybody's in town. Got everybody's it. Just gotten into town. Like,
got it.
The kids are tiny little babies.
Are you? Yes, they were. Are Winona? Is she
Winona's there?
There?
Okay. Yeah.
So is this the first time you're realizing she's like attached to the project?
I don't think so. Okay. Maybe.
Just wondering if it was the first time you're like, oh shit, this isn't like something small. This is like little babies and Winona Ryder over here.
Well, yeah. I mean, that was the crazy that was thing the too. It's like looking around the room. Is like, well, I don't know anybody.
Yeah.
Right, no famous people in there.
Yeah, I was going to say, not.
And then like,
oh, look who it is.
And then like, you know. Like
right.
The hubbub and then Winona gotcha. Bucks. And it's like, okay, well, oh. We got Winona.
Got it.
but
okay,
the
so
funniest
yes.
thing is that the Duffers like came walking up to me and they were like, hey, we're really excited for you to do this part.
Interesting. Before you got the part.
And I was like, well, fool me once.
He asked for another audition tape.
Fooled again.
He wants your 11th audition tape.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm like, what does that mean? You're really excited for me to read it today at this table read? So I'm like very skeptical. I'm like,
sure, I would be too.
You've broken my heart too many times.
That's what I meant about the insecurity thing. Like, I would just be like an emotional wreck. But I guess that's how this stuff works, really. You're probably used to it, right?
Yeah.
Yeah,
I don't have any feelings.
Yeah,
left.
No. That's why you're here on the show today.
After a career in the arts.
Right.
It's sometimes you don't have anything left. You're just on the inside.
I'm so sorry, Randy, to hear this.
Read about murders.
Murders.
To have any sort of feelings. So I'm like, well, okay.
That's an odd thing to say.
And I didn't, you know, like it did not compute.
Right.
And so we do it. We read like 3 episodes that first day and then we come back the second day and we read another 3 episodes. Mm-hmm. And it's on that day. It was actually, I think, the anniversary of that day is tomorrow.
October 2nd.
October 2nd. That's right.
That would have been what? 16?
2015.
15. Wow.
I believe it's 2015.
Yeah.
I think so.
Yeah.
So Carmen Cuba, the casting director, like sits down next to me and she was like, so this part is yours.
Wow.
And I was like, oh, wow. Super cool. That's awesome. I was like, this is great. She was like, yeah, you know, like we had some like some last minute
changes.
Yeah. With this, you know, actor that we really wanted.
I was like, oh my God.
That's just me being facetious. No, they were like, you know, something.
Yeah.
Maybe a schedule conflict or something mm-hmm. happened pretty last minute. And she was like, so, you know, when that happened, I turned to the Duffers and I said, well, what about Randy?
Mm-hmm.
And they were like, great.
Amazing.
And then the Duffer brothers walked in and Carmen goes, hey guys, I just told Randy that the part's his. And they like rolled their eyes and they went, we told him yesterday.
Right. Even though you didn't really interpret it that way.
I'm a dumb dumb.
Well, that's a fun story. And then the rest is, I guess, history, right? How soon after that did you guys start production? Do you remember?
Oh, like a week or two later.
Yeah. Wow. That's a good story. I love that.
And there was one of the producers on the show, Sean, mm-hmm. during season one, one of the episodes he was directing. He like walks past me and he's like, hey, Randy. I'm like, hey, Sean.
Yeah.
He's like, did you grow that mustache for us?
I should also describe you're in a full beard goatee situation here in the studio today.
Yeah, I got the full moustache and beard.
Yeah.
Today.
Yeah.
Keeping it low.
Yeah, right.
You got to keep the facial hair on there, but you don't have to walk around with a mustache all the time. So I'm like, no, Sean, I didn't grow the mustache for you guys. I literally had it when I like auditioned for you.
In case you want to see those 10 audition tapes again. Right?
And he was like, because it was a big factor in us hiring you.
Really?
And I'm like, not my talent. He's like, mustache.
Nope. Just the way you comb it, the way it lays on your face.
I'm like, great. Cause I was in a, I was in another show that was based in the '80s that, had, wrapped right before.
Yeah.
Stranger Things was auditioning.
So. If you don't mind me saying, there is something 80s, I would say, about your mustache, but I don't know how or why I would be saying that. Would you agree?
It's it's funny because there was an interview with the creators of this other show that was called Halt and Catch Fire.
Uh-huh.
It's not sci-fi. It's just drama. There's no murder.
Oh, okay.
But it's a great show.
But still check it out, right?
If you're interested in like technology in the 80s.
Right, okay.
Or like behind the scenes corporate machinations.
Oh, now you're talking.
It's pretty great.
All right.
So there's an interview with the creators of that show, right. And literally like midway through the interview, like it just like takes a left turn and they just start talking about my mustache.
This iconic mustache of yours.
And they were like, we think it's his bone structure. We think it's the way that it
are
fits
you serious?
On his face.
I was just joking, and that's amazing.
No, they literally were like, it is so 80s.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
The way that it sits on his face is like so 80s and fits so perfectly.
So do you spend a lot of time keeping it in like good shape and in good order so that you can continue to book these 80s scientist teacher, are you being typecast in a way?
hopefully I don't play any more scientists or teachers after this. Hopefully, I play some murderers.
Yeah. Murderers. What's his name? The Boston Strangler potentially.
Yeah.
These are such great stories. How you were talking about the little babies back in season one.
They were so tiny.
Yeah.
The DP just posted pictures from the table read, and I was like, oh, my God.
They really did kind of, like, grow up quickly, though. Because I feel like between 2 and 3, I was like, which, of course, there was a little more time, I think, between them. But I was like, wow, they were really little kids back then.
They, like, I think, like, sprouted, like, right after season one.
Right, I think that's what it was.
Yeah. I know that, like, for Gaten's ADR, Gaten, who plays Dustin on the show, for his ADR in season one, which is just where he has to go in and, like, re-record some dialogue because there was, you know, whatever, something weird in the edit or whatever where he just needs to come in and, like, in a sound booth and re-record some audio.
Yeah.
They couldn't use him to do his own ADR.
Wow, really?
Because his voice had changed.
No way. I didn't know that.
And so they were like, this is the story, at least, that they had to hire another actor to do his ADR.
Now I have to go back and watch that whole season and just find those places.
I couldn't find it.
Yeah,
I couldn't find it at all.
Amazing.
But yeah, they were tiny. So I'm sorry, you had a question or something.
The question was just, are you still, I mean, obviously you guys are still in production of the show. It's still current, but how close are you with them? Because I feel like, if I'm just being honest, you're just such a nice guy and like, you seem so fun. And like, even on that black carpet interview, like it was so clear that they all kind of loved you. So like, do you stay in contact with them even now? Like when you guys are filming?
I don't, because I'm a grown up.
Right. Cause you're an adult. That's smart.
And they're kids.
Yeah.
But no.
But as a mentor, though, maybe.
They don't need me as a mentor.
Don't talk yourself down.
They don't. Finn's got Bill Hader.
That's true. Right.
He's so much better of a mentor than I am.
Fair enough. Yes.
Gaten.
Yeah.
Sadie and Caleb.
Yeah.
We're all on Broadway before this show.
Uh-huh.
They don't need
all
me.
All right. Listen, I'm just trying to get a feel for
Millie Bobby Brown is not a businessman. She's a businessman. She doesn't need me.
She's her own business. You're saying
she is in. She's like, come on. She's like a Kardashian with talent.
She really is. She's so talented. I remember, I mean, I'm not a casting director by any means, but I think like most people did when they first watched those first episodes, these kids were just, I was like, I didn't even know kids could do this. They were so good.
Yeah.
And they've just blossomed over these three seasons.
Yeah, they're amazing. Finn is also my height. I'm 5'10". So Finn is now 5'10", and he was like, you know.
Really? I didn't even realize
that. Up to my ankle in season one. So
nice.
He's like a little man.
Little man. Well, it's been... So I also want to mention before we wrap things up that I was not able to get the Mr. Clark Funko Pop when it was out because it was like a convention exclusive. And I just want to know if eventually when I get it, will you come back on the show here in New York and sign it for me? That would mean a lot.
Well, maybe if you give me your address, maybe you can make that happen for you.
I would literally pass out in excitement for that. So I'm not exaggerating. I'm obsessed with Funko and Stranger Things and your character and now you. So
I'll talk to my people.
All right, let's see what we can.
And by talk to, I mean walk over to, and by my people, I mean my Funko collection.
Right. Thank you. Yes, thank you. Last thing, Stranger Things 4, I know it was just teased. I don't want to dig too hard. Are you able to say even if you're a part of it in any ways?
At this point, I don't
know. You don't even know. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
All right. Yeah, hopefully.
I hope so too. I think
you can't do that show without Mr. Clark.
No, absolutely. Especially after that entrance last season. I mean, how are you going to live up to your potentially season 4 entrance? They've got to start thinking.
Ride in on a rocket ship.
Are you like a science savvy person or did you kind of have to?
No, I'm a real dumb.
Teach yourself some of this stuff. You know, I mean, it's not super complicated, but. You know, the whole theory with the paper plate and everything, you kind of have to know what you're talking about in some way.
Sure. Yeah. I have enough of an idea. I'm terrible at like math and stuff like that.
So sure.
Like numbers wise, when you get into like theoretical physics or whatever, I'm done.
Yeah.
And then obviously like the magnet stuff in season 3,
I was
just like, Randy, it's Winona Ryder. You can't fuck this one up.
Oh my God. That's so good.
That one was one where I was like, you got to come in solid.
Right, right.
Not that I ever like don't.
Yeah.
I was like, oh man, if I screw this up.
How do you prepare for that? Do you just do it over and over again in your head or what is your method for like learning all this, the complications of what your character describes?
I'm definitely not the kind of person you think of when you think of like method acting, but I do use acting methods. So I guess I am a method actor.
Sounds like you are.
I just don't mail my co-stars use condoms. Jared Leto.
Did that really happen?
Maybe.
Okay.
It could just be a story.
We'll research that.
I do know that he lived as the Joker.
Right.
I know.
I had heard that too. Yeah.
I know an actor who was like one of his like... sidekicks in that movie, and they were like, oh yeah, I showed up on like day one, like showed up to his hotel room and he was like in his makeup.
Oh,
and
God.
I was like, here we go.
Here we go.
He's like, can I get you anything, boss? Was basically like he was as much about it as like the Joker was. So he was like, all right, so if this is how we're doing it, like, I guess I'm playing my part now too.
That makes me never want to be an actor. I just want to point that out.
That's the stupidest thing that I've ever heard. like that's not method acting. That's like, you're bored.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like you're just being a bored person. I'm sorry if I ever work with Jared Leto. Like we will burn this interview to the ground.
Breaking news, Jared Leto, Stranger Things 4. He'll be with you. So there you go.
Great. He plays Scott Clark's cousin.
Best friend. Yeah, exactly.
Oh, no.
No.
Like one of the people he plays D&D with. that's stupid.
Things.
That's stupid. That's not a method. There's no method anywhere that goes like, you have to live your character for 4 months.
4 months straight, right.
But there are like, you know, emotional places that you get to or whatever. So yeah,
sure.
That's what I do a lot of emotional prep along with learning of the lines. So it's like having the script in front of you, making notes on the script, and then sort of reading through it.
Yeah.
So reading the line, looking over at like whatever notations that I've made, sort of like, thinking about it like throwing pebbles.
Yeah.
Once again, I'm being an incredible nerd.
I like it.
So the idea is like figuring out how your brain works.
Yeah, yeah.
And then figuring out, can I trick my brain into thinking something's real?
Right.
Which we do every day. Right. When we're like, oh, that guy looked at me weird.
Right.
So we're like, our brain is constantly like tricking us. And it's like, well, now we're the shoes on the other foot, brain. Now I'm tricking you.
I love these voices, by the way. We need to isolate them.
So
that's how you get to.
So that's how I get to there. And then sometimes you'll want to like sort of plant a seed. So you'll go like, what's the big heart of like this scene? Like what's my character really trying to say throughout this scene? Yeah. And then you can sort of say your lines and then say that, like whatever that statement is, say that after every line, sort of build that into like, the thought process of the character.
Yeah.
Because ultimately the idea is like, can I be thinking what my character is thinking?
Exactly, right.
And so that's something called an inner monologue.
Okay. And
so that's ultimately what I'm trying to build in a scene where it's like, okay, I know the lines backwards and forwards, but now can I get my brain to think about this thing that I want it to think about during this scene?
Right.
To give like the lines like a little bit of like depth.
Right, exactly.
Wow. And so that's also like a big method for like doing auditions, because if you go in for an audition and you're like, God, I really want this part so bad, it's like, does your character really want this part so bad? Mm. Or what's your character thinking about? Because
the inner monologue.
Because guess what this camera is going to see? It's going to see an actor going, hire me, I want to eat food.
Well, I hope that you continue to eat food into further episodes.
That's the nicest thing
of Stranger Things. Hopefully we'll be seeing Stranger Things 4. I have theories about Stranger Things 4 that I would like to declare. You don't have to say yes or no to any of them. I'm just going to put it out.
Okay,
I'm going to say this. Great. I think that the extended break between 2 and 3 is because they filmed 2 seasons back to back. And they are going to release Stranger Things 4 like New Year's. And the reason I think that is because all the teases for Stranger Things 3 included this countdown and Dick Clark's Rockin' New Year's Eve from like 1984. But none of that was used in Stranger Things 3. Not to mention your little babies are getting a little bit older. If you said Finn's 10 feet tall, they're going to want to get as much of them as kids as they can. Mm. I'm just putting it out there on the record while you're sitting here in front of me. And I also predict that the American in Russia is Mr. Clark. Yeah. I think we've just narrowed.
Clearly.
That's confirmed.
Clearly and obviously it is.
What happens though now if it is him? What happens now?
It will be rewritten and I will be out of the show completely.
No, in that case, we should cancel this whole thing.
Burn it.
Yeah. You don't have to react. I know it's an awkward moment, but I'm just
saying.
No,
it's
it
not.
Out there.
It's not. Okay. Because it's not true.
The reason that
it took so long was because of all the special effects.
The effects. No, I know. I figured it was part of that. But then, like, what's going on with that New Year's stuff? I just thought it was
on New Year's.
I know it was on New Year's. I guess that's true. Yeah. All right. Just crush my dreams, but it's fine. Randy,
sorry, let's go back.
Let's go back. How was your Moscow Mule, by the way?
Delicious.
Good. I didn't really get to drink mine too much because I was just talking the entire time. But thanks for coming on and talking murder and by both people and monsters on the show today.
Yeah, you bet. I totally forgot. I wanted to talk about James Holmes.
Go ahead. Okay, next time. Yeah. You come a couple times a year. You're more than welcome to come back. Darren Excellent. Will be here next time.
Good deal.
We'll have a couple more drinks. We'll find out who the American in Russia is by then, I think.
That's right.
Let's see. All right, Randy, thank you so much. And anything else you want to plug? Are you working on anything that you need to talk about right now?
No.
No? Okay.
I mean, there's some stuff. It'll come out later.
All right. All right. Well, we'll have you back anytime.
Okay. What are your fans called? Martini heads?
Martini
heads. Goodbye, martini heads.
They're actually called dedicators.
Ooh.
Yeah. It's like a kind of long story, but if you want to say goodbye, dedicators, they would love
that. Okay. Goodbye, all you sweet, sweet dedicators.
All right, thanks, Randy. Bye.